Today's episode of The Mom Game is brought to you by friends at Gateway GMC, at LBJ, and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway, because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop Click Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule that delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome inside the Coppola Studios for episode 258 of The Mom Game. I'm Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs. We got some Prosecco Rosé from Coppola on tap today. We got a big guest. We have a state representative joining us.
We do.
Elected official.
That's right.
We're going to get to the bottom.
Ah!
We're going to get
to
the
scares me.
We're going to get to the bottom of this school voucher business.
Yeah, I know.
And by get to the bottom of it, I mean we're going to ask some really basic questions to at least give us a slight comprehension.
There's a lot of pressure when you feel like you're representing all the moms.
All the moms. And I'm sure there's going to be stuff that we will not think of, but just please know that we did the best that we could. And yeah. Julie's wearing a pink blazer.
I wore a pink blazer to talk to somebody official.
Yeah.
I felt like Reese Witherspoon in Legally Blonde.
Okay.
I was getting dressed. It's like, you put your blazer on and you go ask some damn good questions to the Texas state representative.
Yes. Yeah. So we've got a big elected official joining us later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Lots to get to. We are, once again, bracing for balls freezing cold weather.
That's what we're opening champagne for today.
So,
cold weather champagne.
It's not really champagne. Champagne is only made in champagne.
Oh.
I forget what country that is. Italy?
Where is
champagne?
Italy?
Oh, France. Champagne. I don't know dick about, sorry, excuse me. I don't know squat about, I mean, I need to stop saying so many bad words.
About a lot.
I don't know squat about a lot.
Me too. And I think that could be on
political
one
stuff.
Of our t-shirts.
Political stuff.
We don't know a squat about a lot.
I mean,
we like to.
I've never left North America.
You think we know.
Scoot your mic closer to you.
You think we know the same. Do you think we know about the same about the
everything?
World and everything?
You know,
like, are we average for moms?
Oh, I'm so average.
Do you think we're below average?
Mm.
Above average?
Like, are you
we are sort of in like the current, we have to keep up with some sort of thing because of our jobs.
I think it would depend on, like, are we talking about like academic stuff, like stuff that you learn in school? Or are we talking about like
all the things?
All the things.
Life.
We should take an IQ test.
Oh, that'd be
the two
so
of us.
Scary.
Yeah, and see who's smarter.
Well, you know you're smarter.
Bullshit.
Did you graduate with all the shit?
I did. Magna cum laude.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I wasn't magna cum laude.
Thank you. Cheers.
Texas. Yeah.
Well, it was, I mean, at that time, now listen, standards have gotten way higher at Texas Tech since I went there. When I went to Tech, it was pretty much like, I mean, it was so cheap and it was kind of like, it wasn't that hard to get in.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But magna cum laude, what does that mean?
3.8 GPA or higher.
Damn.
Yeah.
So then, of course you're smart.
I never made a B.
Well, then made B's. So that question
that doesn't
is
mean anything.
Very easily solved.
No, it's not. It doesn't solve anything. It just goes to show that I have severe control issues and am totally type A. So I would always do the stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I bet you're
everything required of you and more.
Right, exactly. And so you're smart, but maybe you just didn't do all the stuff all the time.
I didn't like stress myself out about it.
Right.
Yeah. I did everything I needed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your GPA when you graduated?
I don't know. When I graduated from college?
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Really? It's fascinating to me.
Am I supposed to know that?
No, I mean, I guess you only keep track of it when you've got a 3.8 GPA or higher.
Yeah, I think so. That's the difference between you and I. Like, I don't know what it was.
Right. Well, and I think the only other two, the
I was usually like floating around, whether it was high school or college. Now, I don't remember having a college GPA. Did I? At Mizzou?
Yes. And the journalism school at Mizzou is hard.
I was always floating around like a 3.5.
Okay, like, that's great.
3.4. Like, yeah, I was always right around there.
Well, 3.5 is cum laude.
Well, then I'm cum laude.
And then summa is, I think, 3.9 or maybe 4.0. So it's cumma and then magna and then summa.
Oh.
And I was kind of pissed that I wasn't summa.
Maybe I was 3.5 in high school. Maybe college wasn't that high. I think I was more like 3.5
okay,
in high school.
In your defense, the Missouri Journalism School is,
yes,
the, if not the best, one of the best out there.
I was at least a 3.0 because you had to have a 3.0 to get in.
To the program.
Yes, plus a bunch of other stuff.
Bottom line is you're doing great.
You did okay. I did fine.
Yes. And no one gives a shit about my GPA. But I always, because if I would have gone into business or something, like that's really important. Like it looks really good on your resume. Mm. Getting into television, like nobody gave a shit about my grades. No one cares.
No one asked
about
like, what do you sound like on camera? Rest of your life until now. You ask me.
Well, but I think,
like, I don't know.
I think though in businessy circles, like that's a big deal. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. But let's do an IQ test. I'm going to put that on our tackle box. Ew. We're going to do an IQ test.
Sounds hard and miserable.
We'll do a. I'll Google fun IQ test.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. How is everything?
Things are good.
Yeah.
Things are good. Yeah. Things are.
How's your kitchen? You got a kitchen?
We're gonna redo it. Okay. Yeah. So we're moving forward on that. We got to get all the plans drawn up and everything. I had plans drawn up 4 years ago when I thought I was going to do it.
Okay.
And we still have those plans that we paid, you know, like whatever, $1,000, $2,000 for. So we're working off of those because I'm a different person now than I was 4 years ago.
Yeah,
there's different needs, different desires for a kitchen. And so we're working off of those plans. And then from that point on, I think it's, you know, you got to wait on like the home loan situation and all that. So I think we're looking at hopefully like 2 months.
Okay. Until completion?
No, starting.
Do you have a dishwasher yet?
Oh, yeah. We bought one. Okay. We bought a new one because dishwashers are like the same. So even when we redo our kitchen, we'll use it.
Okay.
You know?
So the mold's gone?
The mold that was there is gone.
Okay.
They remediated all of it and it's clean. Now we did get like a test. We had somebody come in, the same person that found it, and he also tested the air quality in our kitchen versus outside and then upstairs. Because upstairs is where Anna is and Ryder is. And then obviously the kitchen is the one that had the problem and then outside. And so it basically came back and like confirmed like, yes, you need to rip all this out. Okay. And when you do, you might find more. Okay. Like it's just like maybe perhaps within the cabinets and like who knows. So and it's an old kitchen, you know, it's just. It's crazy because, like, how many people, like, I just had this desire to go figure this out for myself because I was suspicious because I have a daughter with asthma and I'm trying to do everything. But, like, how many people have mold that they don't know about?
Or no.
You know? So, anyway, it confirmed that, like, yes, you need to do something ASAP about your kitchen.
Okay.
Basically.
Well, good. Well, and like I told you before, like, good on you for just being, like, I want to make sure this is.
Yeah. And it costs money, you know, all of it. It's cost a lot of money. But we had a great company come out and help us. And I feel like this is just another one of those things like everyone should probably do. But, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
Like everybody should also be tested for all of the things going on in your body. But we can't because of this and that and money and insurance.
All
like,
the things.
If there's a scan that you can go do, you can go lay in it and it'll tell you what's wrong with your brain and what's wrong with if you have any like pre-cancer stuff. Like, there's way to do that, but you just can't. So anyway, I think as many of those things as you can figure out how to do for your house or your family or yourself, why not try?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, it's good because it's forcing us.
Yeah.
Get a new kitchen.
Well, good. That'll be exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you?
Good. All is well. Just plugging away. Kids sports and cotillion and school. Cotillion. Well, if that's like gonna be a whole episode. Cotillion.
I know. I warned Ryder about that because everyone's posting about fifth grade for us. What grade is it?
So Henry did fifth and sixth.
Okay.
Hattie is doing fifth, and I have tried to get preemptive with these moms and be like, so don't you think fifth grade is good? And then my idea was, I kind of floated this out the last one. I was like, what if we do like, if, cause I feel like it's way more for, like, yes, they learned some manners and, but I'm like, nobody needs to know how to do the foxtrot, like, whatever. And I said, what if we do like a gathering in the spring and then one in the fall, or fall first, and obviously, and then spring. And I was like, in the fall, we all gather, we find a place, let the kids, you know, have fun. But before that, we have like a social media expert come in and give, you know, tips on social media etiquette, you know, the impact social media can have on you, all that kind of stuff, you know, to give like a you know, 30-minute like educational social media, blah, 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 and then let them party and have fun and I'll play some music. I don't know. And then, in the spring, we do another one. And so everybody kind of gets that like social fix, because in our school system, there's not a whole lot of like, you know, they don't, because when we were in junior high, we had dances and
we
it was
dances
so,
it's like,
you do. Yeah. See, we don't have, as far as I know, unless I don't know about it, like in junior high, middle school, they don't have like organized, you know, activities as far as like a school dance or anything like that. So I'm like, this would kind of kill two birds with one stone. And we don't have to do this whole business. I mean, because it's been six, this is our last one coming up, and it's six dates. And they're on Sundays, varying times, but the girls want to get ready beforehand together, and then go to Cotillion, and then they want to have a post party. And it's just like, we have made this into way
big thing,
too much. Yeah. And I love that.
Which is what moms do with pretty much everything.
Yes. Like, you know. Yes, for sure. And I posted one post party and
I saw your post about it.
I'm happy to get, you know, to be involved. But this is why we're all kind of fatigued, is because we've turned a, you know, 1 hour Cotillion Manners dance class into a 4 or 5 hour thing on a Sunday.
And that's something like that's something that we do to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like I talked with another mom about this. We talked about kind of moving the goalpost for yourself as a mom. You know, if like say there's a party, hypothetical, like party at the school that the kids go to. Our auction does these things called sign and go parties. I don't know if you have anything like that. Okay. Like, that's how the auction makes a whole lot of money. So you buy a ticket for, they have adult ones, they have kid ones.
Oh, yeah.
And so your kid, you buy them a ticket to go to the party. Like, I actually helped host one recently for the third grade, or well, not third grade, it was all boys and moms. You know, and so you go to the party, but then it's like, okay, everyone's going to wear this. And everyone's going to go to dinner before at 3:30 because the party's at 5:30, which is already early. But, like, we're always moving the goalpost, so then... Yeah. It stresses us out. And then there's, you know, it's just a lot.
Yeah.
Why do we all do that?
I don't know. I think a lot of it is.
I think the kids would be fine without any of this shit.
They would. But the problem is now is that more than any other time is our kids are in communication with each other outside of school.
Yeah.
To where they're telling other people like, oh, let's do this, or this person's doing this, or this person's doing that. And it's something else we had in our tackle box, like the whole being inclusive.
Yeah.
But like you can't, I mean, Hattie literally in her school, and there's going to be another school joining when they get to sixth grade. I mean, there's 30 plus girls that are all like relatively tight, like good friends, you know, whatever. But I'm like, you know, when Hattie's doing her birthday invitation list, I'm like, listen, you can do 20. Like, that's it. I can't have 40 girls at our house, and then if you want to have a sleepover, for goodness sake, like three or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, what am I going to tell everyone else? I'm like, I'll tell everyone else, like, hey, happy for Sue to come over tomorrow, and please hope everyone will join us for the birthday party. Full disclosure, Hattie's having three girls spend the night. I don't even know who they are, you know, after the party. I don't know who they are. She's picking them, and there's just too many of us.
Yeah.
And I it's been a good lesson for Hattie too. I've been like, you know, she won't get invited to something. I'm like, hey, newsflash, you don't invite everyone to everything.
Right.
No one can. And so it's a good lesson in like, dude, you can't get invited to everything, and you can't be expected to invite everyone to everything. And I think as moms, it's on us to, you know, because I know moms that are like, they're so worried about hurting feelings or so. And I'm like, I'm not, they all go through different phases too. Like three of Hattie's was like literally best friends 6 months ago. She's really not a part of that group anymore. I mean, they're still friends. They're still friendly. But then now she's migrated on, and they've migrated on. And it's all, I'm like, they're in fifth grade. Like they're going to do their own thing. And it's up to us as parents, and especially as moms, to let them figure it out.
Yeah.
Like you cannot social engineer. You cannot, you know, Hattie, I never know sometimes like who she's going to ask to do something. I don't. And I honestly, I don't care.
Right.
I mean, I'm like, as long as I know that this is a good kid and whatever, if you want to invite her over to play or hang out, great. I'm not going to try to force somebody on you because I'm friends with their mom or whatever. It's just like, dude, whatever. I mean, right. I just don't. And then it takes it all off me. And I don't want to put it on Hattie, but I'm like, these are your decisions. These are your decisions that you make. Just so you know, I know you can't invite everyone and you don't get invited to everything. These are good lessons. Like, hey, it's kind of the way life goes. So yeah. Now's as good a time as any.
Yeah. And it's such a thing, especially with girls and especially you're hitting that like really hard age. And I think it's more obvious when the social engineering's happen, like with kids my age, moms with kids my age and younger, because the kids don't know. Like, you know, it's like, well, you're going to go play. It's like 6-year-olds. They're like, you're going to go play here and you're going to go play, and you're going to go do this and you're going to go do that and you're going to wear this and you're going to do this class and you're going to do that class. And then the moms panic about who's, like, did I get into this time dance class? Because that's when all the other moms are doing this time dance class. It's like, I think the kids would be just fine, like going outside and running around and playing.
But the thing is, too,
and I do
is
it too.
Like,
I'm like guilty.
Oh yeah, for sure. We all are
for all the shit.
I know we all are in a sense, but also too, like they're gonna have to learn. They have to learn at some point. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they have to. We have to put, you know, some of it on them to where, you know, they start figuring things out. They start making decisions. You know, the vast majority of the conflict that Hattie's had with friends or boys in her grade or whatever, I try to let her handle it herself. You know, she comes to me and we talk about it. But, you know, if it gets to a point where like I feel like I need to, you know, call another mom or whatever, I'm absolutely happy to do that. But I've told Hattie a million times, like, you're going to have to figure out how to resolve these issues. You're going to have to figure out how to coexist with someone. You don't have to be best friends with everyone. But you need to be able to be respectful and kind to them.
Yeah.
That'll help
her through life.
It's all a thing. I mean, it's all a thing. Yeah. And so anyway, I know we could talk so much more about that. But just,
we could.
I just feel like too, as moms, like it's okay. It's okay to tell other moms like, hey, and that's why I put it out there. I'll always be like, FYI, she's having 4 friends for the night. I don't even know who they are yet. So tell your daughter if it's not her, not to get her feelings hurt if somebody brought an overnight bag. Like, I'm not arranging secret drop-offs for overnight bags. So the rest,
like,
of the girls.
Emily's
like,
teaching.
It's just what it
all
is.
All these young girls to just deal with it. Well, just like you have to deal with it in life.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but it's like, too, it's like, it's a good lesson for Hattie, too. Like, when she'll be like, oh, I didn't get invited to so-and-so's party. I'm like, well, you didn't invite her to your party.
I know.
Even if you did, she... whatever, like it is what it is. Like, you don't get invited to everything.
But she, as you know, she's totally, it's validated to feel that way, because we even moms deal with it.
Sure.
You know, you see something on Instagram, you're like, oh that looks fun.
So funny.
Why wasn't I invited? Then I'm like, wait, you wouldn't have invited that person if you had a party?
Exactly.
You dumbass.
Well, so funny.
Like, don't get upset.
So my girlfriend, Jessica, who's one of my closest friends, and she had 2 other girlfriends out. They have a lake house. And one of the other girls, not Jessica, sent me a text. Not Jessica. Anyway, one of our other friends, she said, there was like 3. I don't know. There may have been more of them there. And there was a joke when we would play Mahjong about tapping of the tiles or whatever. And so my friend Anne texted me and she's like, so much tapping. And I saw a picture of her and our other friend Lauren. And I was like, oh, so much tapping. And I was like, wonder why I didn't get the invite. And it's Captain and co-captain. It's Captain's wife. And so Captain was out of town that has the lake house. And I was like, I'm sure if Captain was in town, he would have made sure I got the invite. And Jess was just like, love you, Em. And I'm like, I love you too. And you know, I'm just giving you shit. And I was like, so anyway, but yeah, you're like, oh man, that would have been, I mean, not like,
could've used it,
right? Yeah, yeah. I could have done an overnight at the lake house playing Mahjong.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's just, it's
natural to feel that
way. It is. But it's also, you also have to learn how to deal with it. Like, you also have to learn that, like, it's the world doesn't revolve around you.
Yep.
And I think that's it, especially at Hattie's age. And she's a good girl. She really is. She's got a good heart. She's kind. She looks out for others. But there's times when she falls into this total, like, she's worried about number one.
Yeah.
And that's it. And
oh, yeah.
So for me, as terrible as it sounds, I don't enjoy it when she, I know that I'm teaching her, that it's teaching her a lesson when she doesn't get invited to something.
Yeah.
Or is that bad? But I'm like, yeah, see, you don't get invited to everything. It's not, you don't always get your way. You don't always get to do everything you want to do. You don't always, like, this is the way life works.
Yeah.
And maybe that's too harsh at 5th grade, but
It's good to teach her to do that. And yeah, these things really do impact these kids a lot. That's like the number one thing in their life. You know, when you have kids and
I know
things.
But like, I'm trying to teach her like to be armed with like what to say, like and how to, if somebody does call you on it, like, why didn't you invite me to this? And, you know, just say, you know, just be honest. That's my whole thing is like, just be honest. It's too exhausting to try to cover up things or not post this on social media or don't tell so-and-so you were here or don't do this. Like, I'll just be honest. Like, you know, I can't have 20 girls spend the night at my house.
Yeah.
It's just it.
Just deal with it.
Right. And it's not.
Deal with it, little Susie.
No, and it's nothing to
maybe
do.
Next time.
Right. And it's not, you know, I don't know. There's been so many moms praying but I mean, this is just the only way I know. And I think a lot of it's because I was raised by my dad and there was just no bullshit there. Yeah. There was zero bullshit, like just none.
Yeah.
Like there, I mean, I knew my dad loved me. I knew he loved me so much. But like we didn't have, there wasn't a lot of coddling. There wasn't a lot of, I mean, granted, it's not like I grew up on the mean streets of Plainview and just, you know, had to do all kinds of shit myself. My dad was incredible, but he also just was very little bullshit.
Yeah.
And that's the way I am. Could I probably be a little softer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I earned the nickname Cobra among my friends because I will, and you can identify with this, that sometimes I uncurl myself and then I...
Oh, interesting.
I go back and in my coil.
Okay.
So
I like this. And then you attack.
Cobra.
If you're in the line of fire, watch out.
I think attack is a little harsh.
No, it's just Cobra terms.
But yeah, Cobra terms.
That's all. I don't think you actually attack.
Sometimes. But anyway, so yeah. So there's definitely a lot that I could learn as far as a little more softness probably in my approach to...
Yeah. We all have our things.
Life.
Like, we all have things
parenting.
We can learn.
Yeah.
It's good to be open-minded.
Yes.
We all could be.
I know.
Come a little this way. Come a little that way. Communicate better about this. Communicate better about that.
Right.
So it's
or
about just kind of knowing that about
keep
yourself.
Your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Sometimes about stuff.
Keep
your
mouth shut.
Sometimes keep your mouth shut. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, that was.
It was a lot.
Yeah. Cobra.
Emily the Cobra.
Emily the Cobra.
I like it.
And then next week, I do want to tease next week's show. So we have Robbie Estel from Estel Dog Psychology. Mm-hmm. He's going to be our guest in studio, which I'm so excited about. And he's coming to my house this week because my dogs are doing great, but they still are running to the front door whenever anyone walks by. And a lot of it, I think, is because like doorbell, he trained him on the doorbell, but he trained him on the Ring doorbell. We have a different chime.
Oh.
On our doorbell, so it sets him off differently.
He can work.
So he's gonna this is the thing about Robbie. Like he's gonna give me tools to do this. You know, because they went there for a month,
mm-hmm.
And they're so much better walking them. I can't even tell you the night and day difference. Everything is they're so much better. But this is one little piece that like it's almost like he's got to come into my home and show me. How to work on this. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about Robbie coming in because he really has been so fantastic. And there have been a lot of people that have reached out asking me about him and have started using him.
Oh, good.
Josh and Claire Smith sent Sport to him. And then I think Donnie Ecker, is Donnie our bench coach now? I don't know if he moved over. Anyway, he sent his dogs there now. So anyway, Robbie's great and he's going to come join us next week. And then also, of course, later on in this show, we've got Texas State Representative John McQueenie. It's going to be a great show. We need to get into some sportsy things.
Yeah.
Sports Courts brought to us by our friends at Tylock George Eye Care and Rev.
Yes, as you can see, Emily and I, glasses free. And not just right now, but all of the time. And that's thanks to our friends over at Tylock George Eye Care. We just heard from a Mom Game listener who went in and visited with them and had some surgery and was talking about how life-changing it was. We're not just saying this is actually true. They do offer 24 months interest-free financing with approved credit as well. So you can kind of remove that roadblock if you think that that's something that's prohibiting you from getting one of the surgeries, not just LASIK surgery at Tylock George Eye Care. There is something for everybody. Custom lens replacement is one of those things. And then Emily had a surgery. She had already had LASIK and was able to find something that would help her get rid of her readers. So something for everybody. Schedule your free consultation at Tylock.com. Mention the Mom Game for a special discount, or you can also use the exclusive code Tylock.com/ TMG if you want to go holler at them on the interwebs.
Holler. And college baseball is back at Globe Life Field. The first weekend of college baseball is in the books. And now it is time for that train to keep on rolling. We've got the Amogee Bank College Baseball Series presented by Kubota. That is this weekend, February 21st through 23rd. You've got TCU, Michigan, Kansas State, and Arkansas. And then the following weekend, it's Auburn, Ohio State, Baylor, Oregon State. Such a great place, especially now that it's going to be balls cold now, climate controlled, Globe Life Field. Watch a little college baseball. Over the next 2 weekends, we're running a giveaway here on The Mom Game where you follow Rev Entertainment, you follow Globe Life Field, you follow The Mom Game, and then you comment on what team you would like to watch that weekend. And a winner will receive 4 tickets to see a game of their choice this weekend and next weekend out at Globe Life Field for the Amogee Bank College Baseball Series presented by Kubota. So thanks to Rev Entertainment, Globe Life Field, and all of those bringing us some college baseball to the globe here as it's cold as balls. I need to stop saying cold as balls.
Cold as balls?
It is cold as balls.
Go watch some baseball.
Okay, speaking of hockey.
Cold as balls.
Yes, but the Four Nations face-off is
really,
like,
it's really cool.
Rave reviews.
Yeah.
I'm so sad I haven't watched, but I'm watching Thursday.
Yes.
So it's USA, Canada.
Yep.
And there was so many fireworks in the first matchup between those two.
Yes.
Like three fights or two fights in the first 9 seconds.
Yep. That's right. And that was on Saturday night. And so now it's like a rematch between US and Canada for the championship. And this is the first time they've done this tournament, the Four Nations Face-Off, and it's basically their answer to the All-Star Game.
Yeah.
It's like, how can we pull people in? How can we get people...
Love it.
...invested? What are these players going to want to do?
Yeah.
They want to play for their country. That is something they are very serious about.
And I wonder, that's got to be something that's so unique to hockey, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think in basketball, to an extent, like, I remember thinking, remembering how... Like Luka was so hell bent on getting Slovenia into the Olympics and playing for them
in the summer. Like,
absolutely. So yeah. I think NBA, because it's such a global game, and then NHL, because it's such a global game. I say that World Baseball Classic. Dudes were like so geeked.
People
to play.
Love playing for their country.
Yeah.
And they play with a different, I think they go to another level or something.
Yeah.
But the difference in the NHL is, it is such a global game. There's so many players from different places outside of the U.S. And they all come to the U.S. to play in the NHL. And they're all just, kind of conform to, okay, you live in Columbus now. You love Columbus.
Sure.
Whatever it is, or Dallas or whatever. That's not where they're from. That's not who they are.
Right.
And so to have the opportunity while representing the NHL and representing their team, essentially, because, the team only sends a certain amount of players, just as if you do the All-Star Game, to then go play for your country, but have it being tied to the NHL and not like the Olympics or something.
Right.
It's so cool. And so these guys, you can tell, are so into it. We saw like three fights in the first 9 seconds or whatever on Saturday night. And it's really cool how many people are talking about it. Like, people are texting Kelly, because he's obviously NHL guy, worked for the Stars forever, and he's Canadian. But people that, like, I didn't think cared, maybe don't watch a regular season game ever, but they're so into this.
Who is Kelly rooting for?
Well, Canada.
He is.
Oh, yeah. He's Canadian.
Right.
He's actually never become a U.S. citizen.
He hasn't. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you, but what about, like, Ryder and Anna and you?
Ryder and Anna are... They're U.S. citizens, but they go for Canada, too.
They do.
So,
what's going to happen when they play the U.S.?
On Saturday? I think that Ryder will go for Canada.
Okay.
Ryder tends to go for Canada. I think he thinks it's like, makes him unique.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
And so, I think he tells people at school he's Canadian or his dad's Canadian or all this, because he's technically not Canadian. And then Anna just, she doesn't really watch.
Right.
she'll do whatever. It's been interesting for our family. And then... What makes this whole thing a little more meaty and interesting is the political shit going on. Did you notice? Well, you said you didn't watch, but there was booing.
I heard that.
Yeah. So.
And now they're playing this final in Boston.
Yes.
So not sure how familiar you are with Boston sports and their
right
fan base, but I don't. anticipate this is going to go well during the Canadian national anthem.
I know, and I actually really hate that.
I do too.
But like Saturday's game was in Montreal, so
dude, Boston people can't help themselves.
Boston people cannot help themselves.
They cannot.
I think that okay. So you know, it all goes back to like we have to, like it's a political thing right now.
Okay,
you know about this, and this is what's interesting because
shocking. I don't know anything.
This
about
is what's
this.
So interesting, and I said this to Kelly. I'm like, people here. I think because there's so much, because it's a giant, you know, there's just so many people here. There's so many different things that everybody's concerned about, this or that, or the school vouchers. Like, it's not a huge topic in day-to-day conversation, at least in my world, maybe some places. But, like, there's a big thing going on between U.S. and Canada right now.
What's
because of Donald Trump.
Okay.
So he came in and out of nowhere was saying, like, we're going to start tariffing Canadian.
Okay.
Canada.
Tariffs. I've not heard tariffs so much.
That's why. Canada and Mexico.
Yes.
Change the Gulf of Mexico and Gulf of America. Like,
I know.
He's trying to put America first. And that means charging for whatever and only supporting American, you know, companies that are here and create their products here and costing or charging Canada a lot more for anything that's made in America.
Okay.
And Canada is sitting there like minding their own business.
I mean, I
like
feel
we're not
like,
enemies. Like right. Everybody gets along well. Okay. They don't really make many enemies. And all of a sudden,
right,
they're being tariffed. And it's like it's impacting a lot of people's jobs right. and lives. The Canadians, I mean, I have a big Canadian family. It's funny, Emily. Like I was getting some messages on Facebook, like not like mean, but just like, we just want you to know this wasn't us and like stuff like that. And like,
aww.
I'm like, what?
Because Canadians are so nice.
They're so nice.
But like, how could, as Americans, like, how could we ask for better neighbors? Like, you've got Mexico. Right. Well, I mean, there's the drug thing, but they have really great resorts. They welcome us into their country. Yes. And Canadians
really
are so chill
food.
And nice.
I love their food.
I know.
And they're
I love
nice.
Their food. They are, except for the drug people.
I don't know them.
Who don't endorse drugs.
I assume they are not nice.
Or gangs or
those ones are not nice.
Lords, we do not. But other than that, Mexico's fucking great.
I know.
So is Canada.
Right. And they're minding their own business, I think is the main thing.
Okay.
Well, Canada was for sure.
Now we were getting into tariff talk today.
Well, I know. So
oh, shit.
Well, it's interesting because I've kind of been like ignoring it or whatever. And the other day Kelly like kind of brought it up because it's ruffling his feathers. Like, and he doesn't get. But this is like, he's like,
so
you know, I'm Canadian. We need to talk about this. I'm like,
oh, no, you two as a couple?
No, just like, oh. It's bothering him, I think.
It is.
It's bothering his family. It's affecting his family and all that. So anyway, needless to say, it was reflected upon with the booing. That's why there was booing.
Okay.
Because Canada's really pissed at us.
I know, because I thought, this is so un-Canadian.
We've never done that. Like, we sing the Canadian anthem before every, like, if we play a Canadian team at the American Airlines Center, Selena Ray sings two anthems.
Yep.
Like, we're always.
Nails it.
Nails it. Yes. And so there's never been animosity, you know, in that regard. Canadians come here to play. Like, we go back and forth on the border all the time. We go there and travel. They have amazing, beautiful, like, ski resorts, and their land is beautiful. And I love Canada. I love it, love it. So it's just bizarre, I think, in their mind, like, why all of a sudden are we an enemy? Like,
yeah.
And so I think they're taking it very personally because they're a very prideful country. I think Donald Trump has also said he wants to, like, make them a 51st state. Like, not technically, but, like, he's throwing that out there. Like, if you don't conform to this, we can, like, take you over kind of thing. Yeah. And they're like, what? Like, they don't have an army. Like, they don't, you know, they don't.
They're just Canadians.
They're panicking. So, and they're pissed. And so anyway, that has trickled down to this tournament.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I just thought they were like super competitive.
No. And so that's
why.
And
I also too thought the tariffs were only Mexico. I didn't realize they were Canada.
Also
too. I don't keep up with current
events. Yeah, we're stirring the pot on both sides.
Okay.
And so that's why they were booing the U.S. And like I told Kelly, I'm like, gosh, these people, like, they shouldn't boo the anthem. Like, he doesn't care. That's the one person. That's one person that's been doing this, and he doesn't care if you boo the anthem.
No,
like, and he won't hear it. I don't know. Whatever. It's we all. It just put such a stink on sports and the NHL. And I love the NHL, and I love all of these guys. We love the Canadian players. Obviously, we need them to be in the NHL. It's the bulk of the freaking league
for sure.
So anyway, that's why this timing of this tournament is quite interesting. Why you're hearing the boos, and why Saturday night is going to be a big game.
Well,
U.S.
and
Canada.
Yeah, and I'm going to watch it. I'm excited. I have a thing to go to. I'm going to record it.
Yeah.
No, Thursday. It's Thursday.
Thursday? Oh, you're right. You're right. It's I keep Thursday. Thinking Saturday because
okay,
it was last
I was about
Saturday.
To say, dang it. Yeah. Yeah. I was excited about this because Mike's going to be out of town. I've got softball practice and then.
Yes, me, it's Thursday for the championship.
Yeah. And I'm going to make the kid, not make the kids, but we're going to watch it together.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. It's fun because okay. There's not, it's kind of like a slow time
for sports right now.
So I think that's another reason people have really glommed on.
Well, and you bring up the whole fact that this is kind of the NHL's alternative to the All-Star game / break. So the NBA did have their All-Star game / break this past weekend, and it's terrible. The product's terrible. It's all terrible. They are losing people by the day. Like, their ratings overall are down like 40%.
For the All-Star game or the league?
For the
games.
I want to say for the entire league. Also, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure I heard that. Right. And so the NBA, I feel like, is in a world of trouble. And I think a lot of it stems back to the fact that other than my boy Mike McClung, Red Raider, guns up, winning the slam dunk title for the third straight year, there's just nothing to tune in for. And these guys in the NBA have zero pride in playing for representing their team or country or age bracket, whatever, however they're, you know, dividing them up. And the NBA, I feel like, is innate. And they all know it. Like, you hear guys talking about it. You know, you hear current players, you hear newly retired players talking about what a, you know, predicament this league is in because it's losing steam because of the way that the style of play, it's not entertaining to watch anymore. You know, all that kind of stuff, where I feel like the NBA is kind of the NBA's always been a very proactive league as far as social issues, trying to keep up with the times. And I feel like they're kind of in a position where Major League Baseball was 5 or 6 years ago before, you know, the pitch clock and the bases and, you know, the tweaks that they're trying to make. Now, listen, baseball still has a long way to go. Like, they still have plenty of tweaks that need to be made and, you know, keeping up with the times and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like the NBA is in a really, really interesting spot right now as far as how they're going to handle keeping their viewership, appealing to the younger audiences and, you know, and getting them involved and engaged and, you know, and making them fall in love with that sport, because right now it's not happening.
I remember that was one of like Mark Cuban's big things, was with whatever social app he like created or introduced or was supporting, was trying to do more like quick highlights of games, you know, because he's right in the fact that a lot of this younger generation, they don't sit down and watch for 3 hours or 2.5 hours. Like, they just want the action. And maybe because they're so accustomed to social media and video games and everything's so action packed. And then you're like, okay, honey, let's sit around and watch a Dallas Mavericks game. And it's just kind of like, it's just kind of long. Or a baseball game.
Yeah.
You know, even a hockey game. But I do think there's a lot of action. Hockey's so fast paced.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting, I guess, conundrum.
Yeah.
For the league. Now, of course, Adam Silver like says there's no problems. And he's denying that there's, you know, ratings aren't a good reflection of the league and all of that.
Well, then what is?
He said, we're looking at a social media community that's estimated to be around 2.5 billion people engaging in some way with our leagues and players. And then he said, there's new platforms like podcasts, which are becoming increasingly popular.
Hey, now.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam Silver.
Thanks, Adam.
Listen to the Mom Game podcast, Adam. We can tell you how to help.
Obviously, what he's been doing is knowing that the Mom Game's out there.
That's right.
So anyway, NBA's in a world of hurt.
Did you watch the All-Star game at all? No. I tried to like float it to Ryder, you know, because we had kind of, our weekends have been kind of like slow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not planning much. It's kind of nice. And our two spring sports haven't started yet, and they'll pick back up, and then it'll get a little busier with baseball, softball, and soccer.
Yeah.
But I was kind of like, oh, good. Here's something to do Saturday night. Like, you want to watch the All-Star game? And he was just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it, and it was like Kevin Hart and Shaq and Ernie and somebody else on the floor talking for a long time. And I was like, wait, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
So anyway, the NBA is weird.
The NBA is weird. And kids, he is like a lot of kids, I think, when it comes to all sports, where he's just more about the specific player than the team.
Yeah,
you know, it's really interesting to me. It's like, you want the shoes, like, you know, he had the Tatums and now he does have the Luka shoes, which are cool, and they're not tied to the Mavericks.
Yeah.
But it's more about the players than it is the team. So I think it's that good or bad for the league. I don't know. I mean, I guess you're not watching to see your team every
My whole opinion is that you just want to create emotional investments with your teams and your players. Yeah. Like, so whether it's with Luka or, you know, whoever, that you are a Mavericks fan, you're a Luka fan, you're whatever, but you want to keep that, like, emotional connection.
Yeah.
Whether it's a team or a player.
Right.
You just need
good or bad. Yes, yeah.
Exactly.
So they might be looking at this Mavs thing like, hey, people care.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. People are pissed, but at least they're talking about us. Yes. I don't know.
Exactly. Any publicity is good publicity. Mm-hmm. Okay. Time to get on our feed and see what is on it. Brought to us by our friends at ADM and Early Bird CBD.
Yes. Audrey Dolan's Media. They can help you out if you have a business and you're looking for some help with your content, with your social media, with your website, all kinds of different things. They can help you get to that next level so you can focus on the task at hand, which is probably the skill set that you have that helped you create said business and not doing all of the other stuff. That's what they can help with. They help with influencer management, brand management, monetization management, collaboration management, influencer campaigns, content creation and photography, social media management, and website design. They also have a bunch of podcasts and influencers kind of in their portfolio, if you will. So if you're a company and you're looking to advertise, it might not be a bad idea to reach out to them too and see who they could connect you with. We are super appreciative to Audrey Dolan's Media for all of the things they're helping us with right now, which is a lot, and highly recommend their services to you and your business.
I also highly recommend the services of Early Bird CBD. Can I tell you something? So I've been reading. So I told you I'm in a book club. Yeah. It's the book club that I created called The Remedial Book Club. Mm-hmm. And I'm currently reading a book called The Really Dead Housewives of New Jersey.
Yes. Did they die yet?
The deaths just started happening.
Okay. Last week you were like, no, they're not dead.
No. But now I'm on, it's like 270 something pages and I'm on
That's 200 pages since last week.
I'm on like 210.
Okay.
And it's like 270 total.
Okay.
So I'm like, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
But no, people have started to die in this book. But
I like our weekly updates on your books.
I know. Bless. Like, I know. My family is so mean about it. Not mean, but they're like, I was reading in bed last night. So this is my whole Early Bird story. So I was like, instead of having a glass of wine tonight, I'm going to pop some Early Birds and did you get a phone call?
I guess.
Who is it?
I thought it was all on quiet. I don't know. It didn't even have a phone call.
Oh, that's weird. Okay, so this is my Early Bird story. So I decided, I'm trying to read more. Like, I feel like this is motivating me to read more. I mean, granted, I'm reading a book called The Really Dead Housewives of New Jersey, but it's reading. And it's not me scrolling my phone. It's not. And so I'm like, this is good for me. And so last night I told the kids at like literally 6:30, I think. I was like, I'm gonna go get in bed and read. And they're like, they start laughing. And I'm like, so mean. And so anyway, I go and so I'm like, instead of having a glass of wine, I'm gonna like reading now. I'm learning is kind of calming me down. Like, it's quieting my mind. So last night I was like, okay, I'm gonna go pop a couple Early Birds, get in bed, and then read this book. And it was so magical. No, so I
stayed awake.
So I read like probably like 15 pages and then I did fall asleep for a little bit. But it was like, I couldn't go to bed. It was like 6:30.
So what was reading like after an Early Bird?
Great. Like, yeah. Because this is what happens a lot of times when my mind's racing, that I'm still doing the task I'm supposed to be doing. I'm still reading this book, but there's just background in my mind. Last night, no background. It was just me
the book,
reading.
Just the dead housewife.
Just the dead housewife. Just me and a bunch of dead housewives.
Wow, that's a great endorsement.
So, yes. So now I'm like, this is my new, we talked about our sleep routine.
Yeah.
How we get ready. Now it's like, dang, pop a couple Early Birds, get in bed with my book.
Okay.
I know. And then I woke up after I dozed off and then was, you know, it was like 7:30. So I was like, I can't exactly go to sleep right now. So I read more and then went to bed.
Wow. Okay. That's a great development.
Yes. Thank you very much.
I did have an Early Bird last night too.
Oh,
and then I just went to sleep.
They're so glorious.
Yeah.
So anyway, we do have a code. The Mom Game 20 is active, good for 20% off of your first order online. The thing that makes Early Bird different is they have a microdose of THC from hemp. It's legal. It's great, but that is kind of what separates them from traditional ordinary CBD. So check out earlybirdcbd.com. Use MOMGAME20 for the discount code. Always Dawn Shepherd, God bless her. She is she's such a great listener, and she is is a huge fan of the Early Bird CBD. So yeah, check them out. Holler at us. Let us know what you think of them. But thank you to Early Bird for letting me read my book.
There you go. Yeah. It's important.
Okay, so on the feed today, Jasmine's had this in our rundown. Oh, damn it. We were going to have Jasmine on today.
And we did talk about
it. But we did have a guest. Well, we'll figure it out. Jasmine's great. Y'all are going to meet her. She's kick-ass. So she's had this in our tackle box forever. What phrases annoy you, or what phrase annoys you every time you hear it? So I guess
they're really annoying phrases.
Oh my gosh. There's a list put out and I am obsessed with this. And I agree so much with this list. Uh-huh. But I feel like so many of these are not going anywhere.
No.
And I'm trying to figure out which one of the, like, how many of these that I'm like
guilty of.
Yes.
Probably a lot.
Okay. Yep. So let's just go through it really quickly.
Okay.
I was today years old. I can honestly say I've never used that one.
I've never used it. I heard it recently and now I'm already tired of it.
Okay. It's been around for a while. Yeah. Okay.
Like, it's stupid.
This, in a place of saying that you agree. Oh. I've done that one.
Oh, you have? Oh, like, to your friend? You're like, this.
This. I think more in like text messages, text chains and stuff. Oh,
this right
but
here.
This.
Oh.
Maybe like if you didn't.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Like pointing them down.
I don't think I said.
Well played. I feel like well played I've been using for a really long time and I feel like it's very effective. So I do not agree with well played.
It's not. Yeah. It's not super annoying.
Yeah. Okay. I love that for you.
It's like almost like a bless your heart, I think.
Very much a bless your heart.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with bless your heart.
Okay, maybe I'll start using it. I love that for you.
POV. There's so many POVs.
It's like someone on social media said it was cool or like some, you know.
POV, you're a...
I'm going to the hockey game.
Okay, but this goes back to the people crying on social media. There's so many people crying on social media. Yes. POV, your husband left you 2 years ago and you haven't been able to pick up the pieces since.
Like, that's a lot. Doing that, that's like, a lot. That's whoa. A lot. You need to go talk to somebody about that. Do a POV on Instagram.
No one needs this POV.
You can't put that whole blurb and make it like, this is just a story about, and it's like, this is all this heavy shit.
I feel like POV is at the top of my list.
POV is annoying.
Tell me you blank without telling me you blank.
Oh, that was so annoying.
That's I know. I've done that one a couple times.
Tell me you're a mom without telling me you're a mom.
Tell me you're a baseball mom without telling me you're a baseball mom. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've been guilty of that one. I'm staying away from it. Not all heroes wear capes. I've used that before.
You
with
have.
Our friends at Mosquito Shield, but it's true.
Oh, well, and they have
they're capes. Mosquito heroes.
They are mosquito heroes.
Yes.
That's fitting.
It is fitting.
But don't use it. You don't use it like in a social. Like,
no. No, just
we'll
mosquito
allow
shield.
It for Mosquito
okay,
Shield.
Okay, just for Mosquito Shield. Okay, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Okay, well.
What about finishing every sentence with you know what I mean?
You know what I mean. That's just annoying in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a stupid question. I don't know. I feel like I like that one. I
like that one too. That's allowed.
Okay.
That's such a good teacher phrase.
I did a thing.
Oh.
That one is a fucking.
I did a thing.
Beating.
And then they're like holding a baby.
So we did a thing. So I did a thing. So I had a thing. Yeah, that's. Whew.
All of the things is used a lot. I definitely use that.
Oh, all the things.
I might have used that last night in a tag.
You did.
Like, let's go catch up on all the things.
All the okay.
It's a good way to say that, like, there's a lot to talk about.
A lot to get. Okay. Hubby, wifey, preggers, doggo, and fur baby.
You fur baby, don't you?
I have never called my dogs fur babies.
You haven't? Okay.
No.
All right. What do you call them?
Dogs.
Like when you're posting on about the dogs, you don't give them any little nicknames.
Crazy asses. I don't know. Dogs. No, I've never called them my fur babies. I've called them my babies. You're right.
Okay.
Not fur babies.
Okay.
That makes it way better.
Hubby, wifey.
Hubby. If my McCoy ever called me wifey, I'd be like,
what do you think about all the like bragging about your spouse?
Well, okay. It's like, I feel like it's weird. So I very rarely post about Mike.
Yeah.
He never posts about me because he never posts.
Right.
But I do think it's weird when it's like this whole like diet. I mean, every once in a while, I guess I will. So I really can't knock it. But like this whole like heartfelt, like he's sitting on the couch next to me.
I know.
Like, why don't I just be like, I think you're awesome.
It's become such a thing though.
Right. And then it's almost like who can outdo everyone else by saying the nicest things about their
spouse. I know. And it is about their spouse because they are sitting right there.
Yes.
Like, do you tell them?
I think the last post I made about Mike was like a year, like our, not this past anniversary, but the anniversary before that. And I said a bunch of really cheesy shit on purpose. Like, you complete me. And
I think I remember that.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then immediately so many friends reached out and was like, are you okay? Is Mike holding you against your will? Did he make you write these things? No, I was really
What's
kidding.
Happening?
Yes, what is happening?
Yes.
But I mean, I guess if that's so much now is being put on social media about, you know.
I know.
I don't know. And I started watching that Gabby Petito documentary.
Mm. Yeah.
She's the one that was in the van. Yeah. Like they were going, whatever.
A couple and he killed her.
Yeah. Well, spoiler alert.
You know that. I mean, come on.
So it's like, you know, so much you just spoiler don't alert. Know.
Emily didn't
way
know
to ruin
Gabby
it for
Petito.
Me. But I don't know. I don't. And that's just it's just not my
because they were like that. Were
oh
they?
My gosh. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Weird.
So anyway, I mean, I don't think everyone who posts like glowing things about their
is actually going to murder them
on social media is going to kill them. But I don't know. I just, it's really
that's kind of what you're saying.
It's not, just, I'm not saying that. It's just not my thing. Just like it's not my thing to be like.
Hang on. This is where I need to get our imagery.
Here imagery. I am. Like, felt cute, might delete later. Like,
Yeah.
I just, like, I can't, I don't know. I just don't, I don't have it. It's not the way I'm wired. I can't, there's just.
Do one more post. Instagram Emily photo shoot.
I mean, I don't know. I just got a cramp. But I don't know. And so I'm trying to be respectful of people that's their love language.
Okay, I think it all boils down to there's some sort of need for them to do that. Like some sort of innate need for like someone to say, you look great or
right. Or maybe they just enjoy
the
it.
That they're happy, you know, and that's fine. We all have our,
right.
It's like some sort of insecurity. Or
we
whatever,
all have your thing. Everybody
fine.
Has their things. Like that's
exactly.
How they want to.
So that might help them if someone's like,
right.
You look so beautiful.
Right.
Today.
And
like,
so
maybe
like,
they need to hear that.
Right. So it's like to each his own. Just right. Really not my jam.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't really know. Yeah.
Hubby,
so
wifey,
hubby, wife. I mean, like I call Mike, like if Mike ever puts me on a text with friends, like I call him like sugar pants or something like ridiculous just for fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. To each his own. If you do that and write a loving note. And like I said, everyone, I've done it a couple of times where I was like, and I do. I mean, I love my husband. I'm proud of him and I'm thankful for how hard he works for our family. And but I tell him that like
right.
Directly.
Well, that's better.
But some people
good.
Are
some people maybe can't like maybe.
Yeah,
I think a lot of men. That's why it's nice to like write a card or something with your real feelings. Like we got Valentine's cards that Ryder had put or made at school or whatever. He made a thing and it was like a tumbler. And it was like, you make my heart tumble. It was like a Yeti from the school. And it was like the sweetest thing about everybody in our family. But like he could never look at us and say that. And now this is a 9-year-old and that's not what we're talking about. But just pointing out that it was like really sweet. Like some people need that.
Okay.
Like more it's more private, but it's public when you put it on social. But some people can't physically say things.
So I will tell you, you bring up a great point. So Mike and I had a discussion the other day, not really an argument, but like a discussion. And I feel like I'm not good at arguing because I'm a cobra. And so I come out of my coil and then I attack or strike and then I get back in my coil. And then when I have time to think, I'm like, I didn't even communicate anything I wanted to communicate. And that was a completely pointless like discussion, argument, whatever. So I sent Mike this like long text of like, this is where I was coming from. Blah, blah, blah. And I didn't put it on social media, but you know, but I was like, he was like, thank you so much for sharing. Like, because we're both very strong headed people.
Yeah.
Like that if I would just take the time to like convey what I was really thinking instead of being defensive, cobra-like, whatever.
Well, like the blood starts flowing.
Right. But then it's like, it's not, this is never going to do us any good. And we're going to keep doing the same shit if we don't communicate openly and honestly.
Yep.
And so I guess, I still wouldn't put that shit on social media, but
no,
whatever.
But maybe some people do.
Again, to each his own. And yeah, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. Okay. We're going to run through these. When people use supposedly instead of supposedly.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah, if that's an adult, then
gaslighting. I will fully admit, I don't even know what gaslighting is. I hear it all the time. I don't even know what the fuck it means.
Which,
I have no idea what it means. People, you're just gaslighting. You're gaslighting. I don't know. Gaslighting.
And it's like, hot term.
Yeah,
which lines up with what this says. Gaslighting, mostly because it's often used incorrectly.
Right. Like, and I don't even know. Like, you're gaslighting me, I'd be like, I don't know what that is. So I'm sorry. Right. I don't know. Living my best life. I'm in my blank.
You're like, and like, it's a picture of your feet at the beach.
Uh-huh. Like, I know. The feet on the beach pictures have got to go. They've got to go.
It's just mean.
Except for the Wiki Feet people. They want those.
They do.
I'm in my blank era. That one has gotten destroyed.
Done with like the longest tour of all time. She's done. So she can all be done with your blank eras.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk, which I've done before. Yeah.
That one makes me ick.
Yeah. Oh, look at you. Good transition. The ick. I mean,
I kind of like that because I think every woman, and probably, I don't know if men understand, but like everyone knows the ick.
Yes.
You know the ick when you get the ick.
Somebody touching me with their toenails.
Yes. Everyone has something that's just like, ugh. Yes. So I like that one.
Okay. The blank. That was not on my 2025 bingo card.
Okay.
Adulting. And then lives rent free in my head.
Yeah.
This list is pretty spot on.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie.
It is spot on. Now I don't want to say any of those things.
I know. I'm going to post this on my mirror every morning.
Yes.
Okay.
The original.
Before we get to our guest, a little quick TMG news desk brought to us by our friends at Community Mechanical and Qualis Roofing.
Yes. Community Mechanical, you need to give them a call right now because this cold weather is here and you want to make sure that you're prepared for it. You want to make sure that you can warm your home, that your kids and that your family are going to be comfortable with whatever weather comes their way, because as soon as we get through this cold, of course, not long, it's going to be very hot again. So they can get you on a preventative maintenance plan. They'll come to your house, do a full preventative maintenance service in the spring and the fall to make sure that you're prepared for extreme temperatures. All preventative maintenance customers will receive a 10% discount on all parts and services. They check in every 6 months, so take that off your to-do list. It's just one of those things like the air filters in the back of your mind. You know that they're probably overdue and you've got to nag your husband, or if you are the husband, you got to go up there and deal with it. Don't. Just give the folks at Community Mechanical a call. They can also, of course, repair or replace your full system. And then if you're remodeling your home or building a new one, they can work with you on that and help you design that ductwork. They have an in-house design and construction team, and so they can help you with the HVAC or refrigeration system that is required for your project. I'm working on them. You heard me talking about, or working with them. You heard me talking about the kitchen. So we're working with them to kind of figure out a good time to come in and redo some of our duct work and make sure that our heating and our cooling is actually being spaced out properly throughout the house. Call or text them 469-667-7290. Go to communitydfw.com, fill out the form, and make sure you say that the Mom Game sent you. And something very cool right now, if you do sign up for that preventative maintenance service, which I mentioned, you can receive a TMG tumbler or t-shirt from our new store. And if you end up needing a whole new HVAC system, if you replace yours or if you buy a new one, you'll get to come to a Texas Rangers suite night with Emily and I.
I know. And that's not the only chance to come to a suite night at a Rangers game with Julie and I. Also, too, if you get a new roof from Qualis Roofing and Construction, you also will be able to come hang out with Julie and I during a Rangers game in a suite this season. Qualis Roofing and Construction is your trusted local roofing contractor offering the highest quality roofing and construction services. They were three friends, founded this company because they were very well aware of the negative connotation and the stigma attached to lots of roofing companies, general contractors, different things like that. And so they wanted to band together and create a company that was going to serve its customers the right way, only doing work that was necessary. So they'll come out to your house, inspect your roof. They could tell you, hey, your roof is in great shape. Or maybe you might need a few repairs. Or you know what? it's probably going to be better if you just scrap this whole thing and get a new roof. So locally owned with more than 7 decades of combined industry experience. We've loved having them as a partner here on The Mom Game. So if you're looking for top quality construction or roofing services for your project, look no further than Qualis Roofing and Construction. They are zero pressure. They want to do what is right for you and your home. They use state-of-the-art tools, techniques, and practices to ensure a reliable result will occur without any unnecessary hassles or delays. So take advantage of their services today. You can call 817-500-9008. That's 817-500-9008 for service in the DFW area. All you got to do is mention The Mom Game or fill out their online web form to schedule your free estimate. You also get a TMG tumbler or t-shirt. If you get a roof inspection, there is no obligation. They will come out, look at your roof, tell you what you're dealing with. But if you do decide to buy a roof from Qualis, they will hook you up with a Ranger Suite night with Julie and I. So that is QualisGC.com. That's QualisGC.com. Mention The Mom Game, fill out their form, no obligation, get them out there to look at your roof. Any kind of construction needs that you need, and tell them The Mom Game sent you.
Yes.
Yay.
That sweet night's going to be fun.
It will be fun. I know. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is one that our fearless producer Jasmine sent us, that a new report says that it's possible that workplaces may start providing special days for sexual wellness. These so-called sex days would be dedicated time off for intimacy, health, and related needs. In a survey, more than 3 in 5 employees support the idea of paid or unpaid sex days. Okay, listen. If you take a sex day, are you really doing it? Like, how do they know? Where's the cross checking here? Like,
there's probably none.
Right,
that would be a violation. I'm horned HR up. Violation.
Let's take a break.
Your manager's like, let me just make sure.
Like, I'm gonna need to see some video here.
Yeah.
You send me a link.
Right. No, there's no way to cross check.
No way. So your feelings, Julie, on this.
I don't feel like this is real.
I don't feel like it's real either. But okay, so what if
half of employees who have taken a sex day reported increased productivity?
Where are these employees?
Do they just mean a vacation day?
Where are these employees that are taking sex days?
I don't know.
Like, where are they? And do you have to have a partner? Can you do this on your own? Like, do your sex days have to match up with your husband's sex days?
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many questions here. I just don't feel like, I feel like there's going to be a definite abuse of the sex day.
Yeah. This one's crazy, too. 1 in 5 Americans would feel comfortable approaching their manager about taking a sex day. Can you imagine going up to any of my old bosses and be like, yeah.
Dude,
tomorrow's going to have to be a sex day for me.
Do you know how many times I lied about my period to male bosses? Zero problem with it.
Yeah.
Because all it takes.
You would go as.
Oh my God.
I don't need to name drop and make it real weird, but like you'd go talk to somebody about it.
This isn't Rangers. No, this is early in my career.
Okay.
And I would, you know, and I'd be like, oh, it's, you know, female. And they'd be like, oh, you're good. Let's go. Yeah. Go whatever you need to do. Like if you drop like period, menstruation.
Yeah.
Blood, right? I mean, they're they freak the fuck out.
Yeah, yes, they do.
And so I did that. I mean, not a lot of times, and it's terrible
for
me to admit. And I don't
like when you get pulled over for speeding. No, or something,
when I was pregnant, though, I did.
Yeah.
I think I told them. It's like I think I just peed a little bit because my baby's pushing on my bladder. He didn't give one fuck. Aww. He gave me a ticket anyway.
Oh, and then you're just sitting there and you're pee, and like, defeated.
Yeah,
you're fake pee.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really, but.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if you want to watch a man squirm, talk about your menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
Like cramps, you know, yes. I mean, and so I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, sex is different, obviously. But
yeah. Now, I don't know if
there's
it's ever
no
going to
get
to this point.
There's
sexual
no
wellness, like a sex day from work.
But I'm sure.
But there is probably an increased push for like sexual wellness, recognizing that it's something that maybe needs to be given a little more time and attention.
Right.
I mean, there's like people who do.
Can you imagine the dudes though? They're gonna be like, sex day.
Like it's sex only day, for women. Like the guys don't need help, do they? Like they're very sexually aware. Like they, you need a day to like go you. See the doctor. Like I don't know. I think it would behoove them.
We sometimes they need you to make their sex day complete.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. This is never going to work.
No.
But also, too, there's no way in 1955 that they were like, someday we're going to have mental wellness days.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, now it's like.
Mental health days.
Mental health days. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now we're just going to have.
Quiet rooms and offices and like.
Yeah.
Calming corners and all the things.
You're right.
Yeah.
Now they'll be like the do it dorm.
The do it dungeon.
Do it dungeon. There we go. We can't give you a full sex day, but we can send you to the do it dungeon for a couple of hours.
Right.
Just reserve it. Just put your name on the list. Do it
dungeon. And what's it called when you're in jail and you've got to have your spouse come so you can do
bail
it?
Bail you out?
No, like
conjugal visit.
Yes. Yeah, so you have conjugal visits at work in the do it dungeon. Otherwise, you're doing it with someone that's not your spouse.
Whoa.
Well, your spouse isn't at work.
True.
So you have to have a conjugal visit.
Conjugal do it. Yeah. Visit.
Yes. Okay. And then do you think that would increase employee activity production?
I don't know. I've too much information. But it usually, from my experience, it wipes dudes out. Like it's.
I can't. It wouldn't be during a work day.
Right. No,
it
but like.
To be at the end of a day.
Right. But I think they get really tired after
takes a lot
things
out of
happen.
Them. I don't know, Emily.
This is not to be used for social media. I always joke that I put Mike in a coma.
Hey, she just kept going. She just kept going.
Should we bring on the state representative? No.
The Cobra. The Cobra has struck.
Does Kelly get tired after?
I'm leaving you hanging.
Okay. We need to get it together.
Surely. Well,
we have an elected official.
Let's have a better, like okay. Because the elected official people, like, might rewind a little bit. You know what I mean?
Oh, so let's. It's like we're tuning in here.
Yeah.
John McQueen right. Talk about Senate Bill 2, and we're talking about
Emily's Cobra. Okay. So let's do it. Let's be official for like two minutes.
Well, what are we, two? What are we going to talk about? Well, then you lead the conversation.
The schools and the moms and how are your kids doing in school?
You're terrible.
What about PE class? Do you think there's enough resources? Do they have balls and hula hoops?
Yes.
Jump ropes? Do they have jump ropes?
This is the worst. This is the worst transition.
What about the Rangers?
Oh my God.
The Mavericks? Tell me about your thoughts on the Luka train.
Okay,
this has been really great content. Now this it's says, time.
Now it's time. Now it's time. And I'm going to start the interview. So I need you to say that it's officially time for our game.
That's right. That's right. We've worked through a lot here on this show. Now it's time to get serious.
And we are thrilled to be joined by State Representative John McQueeny. He's here to talk about something that completely overwhelms me, that I'm completely ignorant about, but that is a very, very hot topic right now, Julie, and that is Senate Bill 2, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to bring in someone who actually knows what's going on, and that is John McQueeny. Representative McQueeny. This is so official. What do I call
you? John. Call me John.
Okay.
No. good.
John, thank you so much for being with us to kind of shed some light on this thing.
Right.
Everybody's talking about it. I feel like with my friends, moms, we're all talking about it, but we're all confused as to what the purpose of it is. Where it stands, how it will impact those in public education, those in private education. So if you can just explain the whole thing to me, that would be outstanding.
Perfect. How much time do we have? Yeah. So Senate Bill 2 is the bill for school choice, education, savings accounts, whatever. It's been called a bunch of different things, but Senate Bill 2 was the first step in getting that legislation across the finish line. The House has not filed our legislation for it. You know, the way the process works is a Senate bill goes, a House bill goes, and then it gets reconciled, which there won't be very many differences, but there may be some nuanced differences between both chambers. And then that bill goes to the governor to be signed. So Senate Bill 2, the Senate was very expeditious about getting it out and getting it voted on. And then we're going to do our process. Our committees were announced last week. Chairman Brad Buckley, who had the Public Education Committee last session, is the chair of that committee this session. And like I said, his legislation, he's the author of the bill for the House, and it will be out probably this week, is what we anticipate. So I think it's important, you know, the Senate Bill 2 and public ed, Senate Bill 2, school choice, education savings accounts. When the House puts our legislation forth for it, we will also be putting forth a historic spend and a historic bill for public education as well. A lot of people from an education savings account, school choice, really the intention of the bill is to give families and parents the power to choose what's best for their family. So it opens the door, it gives the proverbial toolbox to all parents in order to choose the best option for their family.
So, okay, to somebody that maybe hasn't heard about this bill, how do you explain what the bill is and what all it entails?
Okay, so the legislation gives parents the opportunity to tap into education savings accounts to help fund, pay for, offset the school of their choice. So, for example, if a child wanted to go to a private Catholic school, you could apply to be in the program, and if accepted into the program, you've got the ability to have some of those funds to help offset the cost of it. So as the Senate bill was laid out, I believe it's a universal program, meaning anybody can apply, but it's got the initial deal on the Senate side was 100,000 students and $1 billion. So it's at about $10,000 per student. And then it goes through a savings account, educational savings, similar to a health savings account.
Okay, so Simpleton over here would ask the question, why don't we just put all of this money into public education, which is available to all children?
So there are a lot of different circumstances in everybody's household that sometimes public education is not the best option for them. And we want to make sure that every child in Texas and every family in Texas has got the ability to choose what's right for them. Public schools have got a big lift, you know, and like I said, we're going to have a massive over $90 billion spend on public education, which will be a historic spend there so that we can give teacher pay raises. There'll be investments with discipline so that we can make sure that the teachers have got what they need, the toolkits they need in public education. So there's discipline in the classroom. There's going to be a change to the grading system of public schools from this A through F system. There'll be investment in school safety. So public education is not being left behind at all. With this legislation, I mean, think about it. It's $1 billion for the education savings account situation. And we're spending probably north of $90 billion on public education. So
it does it come from that same fund that would be going to the public education? So, I think maybe that's a question that a lot of people don't know.
So the budget for the state for the buy-in is going to be over $300 billion. So we're not cutting. This is going to be an increase in spending for public education. And this is another standalone program. So one thing that I think is very important for people to understand is that this is not a win-lose for public education. This is a win-win for Texas. It's a win with a historic investment in public education, and it's a win with giving parents and families a choice for their students, you know, for their children when public education just doesn't make sense. The Senate bill had a prioritization for low income and for students with disabilities. I think you'll see something similar to that coming out of the House bill as well.
Okay, and that was another question. So I have a very dear friend who has a daughter with Down syndrome, just started making her way into the public education system this year, as a matter of fact, at Overton Park Elementary, yep, where you live about a mile from. So my question to you, I feel like there's a lot of fear on their end of how this is going to impact their child and how it's going to impact other children with disabilities.
Yeah. Well, so the legislation is going to prioritize children with disabilities. So they will have an opportunity to get into this program kind of with a little bit of a head start getting into it versus a student that just wants to go to a private school. But I think it's also really important to say, and so that everybody understands, it's a completely optional program. It is a family optional situation. You're not going to be forced to go apply to be in this program. It's something, if you want the resource, that the resource is available to you. But like I said earlier, the public education spend that we're going to, it will be historic for an investment in public education as well. So this is, like I said, this is a win-win situation for Texas families. It's a win for Texas education. It's a win for Texas students. It is not, we're not stripping anything out of public ed in order to fund this program. We're fortunate that we've got the ability to fund both with our, you know, we've got an actual surplus coming into this session, which is nice.
And just kind of to Emily's point, and I think the 504 programs at a lot of these schools are something that keeps resurfacing in a lot of these conversations and debates that you're seeing on social media or whatever it is. And the 504 programs we have right now are amazing. They're great, and they do such wonderful things for so many kids. I'm about to have a child enter one of them. And so, you know, reading about all this, obviously different parents have these things hit home for different reasons.
For sure.
And people that are writing these bills, voting on these bills. A lot of us are parents, right? So I guess what you're trying to say is that this isn't necessarily going to pull from current 504 situation or correct, disability funding, that kind of thing, just because you're creating this voucher system for the private schools. Is that correct? And is that something that you really want to enforce?
Correct. You're absolutely correct. This is a additional program offered for those that want to participate in it. You know, a lot of the phone calls we get and messaging we get back on Senate Bill 2 has a lot to do with homeschool parents. I don't know if you guys are seeing that on social media or whatnot, but this is from a homeschool perspective, the legislation will give homeschool families and homeschool parents resources only if they want them. It is not going to change their ability to educate their kids as they see fit. But if there are resources that they can pull down, this is an option for them. But like I said, it is completely optional. It is not going to take from the public ed funding. We will have a historic public ed investment with legislation this session.
Okay. Another simpleton question for me and dumbing it way down. My initial thought was, listen, my kids are going to public school. I'm not trying to fund John McQueenie. I'm not trying to fund your kids going to private school. You know, if that's a choice that you make, that's a choice that you make. I'm on the public school train. And so I don't really want my taxpayer dollars going to help fund John McQueenie's kids going to private school.
Yeah. The tax dollars that are here for this are every taxpayer's dollars. It's not just your dollars, my dollars, anybody else's dollars. I don't even think that, I'm not sure if this is going to remain in the legislation, but I would certainly support it remaining in the legislation that I can't participate in this program. I will not apply for this. I will not be applying for this for my kids. I mean, as somebody that's part of the legislative process, I just don't think it's right.
Yeah. Okay. And so then too, so where do, and I guess this is probably yet to be determined. So who's making up this oversight committee? Who's making sure that, you know, that elected officials aren't taking advantage of this, that people who are making, you know, there's got to be parameters on the income level threshold that you have to be under or something. And then, and where does that come from and how does it get? So it seems overwhelming, right? Like just so many things now to do. And I guess my initial thought would be like, surely these people, these elected officials aren't doing this without having thought all of this out and knowing the criticism and I guess the optics of it. And I think that's what it is the optics of it. Cause you just see it on its surface and you're like, BS, like I'm not, I think this is terrible. But yeah, having talked to you now for 10 minutes, now I have a better understanding of it, that it's not just what's out there. I'm not saying I'm in support of it or, you know, against it, but I'm kind of getting a better idea now. But it does seem like now this is going to be the first domino. And then there's going to have to be so many things and checks and balances put in place to be sure that it really is impacting those that you talk about.
Yeah. And the Senate Bill 2 outlines a lot of those parameters, the groups that are created in order to make sure that the oversight of this program is done properly. I'll tell you, there are great organizations that care so much about the proper implementation of this bill, because I can talk about this all day long. I can tell you how it's intended to work. And if it doesn't work that way, we've got problems. You know, so there will be oversight. The comptroller's office is probably the group that's going to manage the education savings account from the financial perspective of it. But there will be government oversight and agency oversight and making sure that this is done as intended. So.
And one more from me too. Well, I probably have a couple, but on the, so how do the checks and balances work? Is it, will it be solely up to the individual private school on whether or not they accept a child who wants to be in that school? Well, how does that work on their side?
There's going to be a process for the private schools to be quote unquote accredited in the program. You can't just go create the mom game podcast school. And
God, we would kill it. There would be so many
kids' hearts.
There would be so many moms wanting to send their kids to our school.
I mean, I see the wine bottles in the background. So that's exactly where everybody wants.
Yeah, you have to be 21 to go to our school.
21 years old, and we're good, and we're getting back. No,
yeah,
there will be oversight to make sure that there's not abuse. I think it's vitally important. I think everybody down here in Austin understands that it's important that we get this done right. And you know, that's where the devil's in the details. You know, I think that this momentum for this is building, you know, across the country, to be honest. You're hearing it from it out of the White House. You're hearing from it in Austin. You're hearing from it all over. So the momentum's there, but we really have got to make sure we get it done properly and done right. Devil's in the details. You know, you've got my commitment. I know that the Pub Ed Committee, the chair of that committee, they are very, very committed to making sure that this is done properly.
Interesting. So, is there anything, I guess, that, you know, you have the platform, we have a lot of moms that listen, we have teachers that listen, we have administrators that listen, and that we know personally. So if you could sit down and like have a cup of coffee, say with all these moms, teachers, administrators right now, who are stressed, who are planning to maybe, I saw some even teachers saying they're going to go to the Capitol or they're going to go to Austin and try to get their voice heard, whatever it is. There's people that are panicking because maybe they haven't seen this interview yet and haven't heard all of the details. So if you were just sitting down kind of, you know, one-on-one with somebody who's really concerned about their kid and about the public school funding, what would you want to say to them?
I think that the first thing that we would say is that the intention of this legislation is to give you a choice if you want a choice. Okay. And I would say that we are going to make a historic investment in public education. This is not a win-lose. It is a win-win situation where we've got to make it work for public education. So, you know, from a teacher's perspective, I understand it. You know, look, I've got a lot of faith in our public school teachers. I've got a lot of faith in teachers in general. And I just think that there's an element of families are going to choose what's right for them. And I think for the majority of Texas families, public education is going to be that. You know, it's vitally important that we've got a good public education system. Most Americans, the biggest investment that they make in their life is buying their home. If we don't have good public education, good public schools in your neighborhood, it negatively impacts that investment. So we've got to make sure that we're protecting that investment. And from that perspective, you know, I'm a business guy. It's important to me that we're making the right investments for investments to grow. So we've got to protect families in that regard. We cannot get and attract businesses to continue to come to Texas as a state if we don't have good public education. We've got to make sure so the lesson and the thing I would say having coffee is, This is not a give up on public education. This is an alternate program that offers more choice for you. So,
and I was surprised, and this could be completely false. I heard on the radio today, a sports radio station. So who knows if it's true or not?
You're in your sports bubble, right?
Yes. It's so nice here most of the time, John, in this little sports bubble. That there's like 32 states already have a voucher program, yep, some sort of voucher program in place. And I think that's another thing for those of us who are a little more advanced in age, that don't really like change a whole lot. And that to me surprised me that there are so many other states that already do. I'm not saying the exact same thing, but something similar. And do you think a lot of the resistance is from people like me who don't know the details, as you said, and also two that are just like, you know, don't jack with my public schools or whatever. Yeah.
And we're not here to jack with public schools. No, I think it's important for people to understand this is not a new concept that Texas is creating. This is pretty widespread in the United States. And we are going to make sure, you've got my commitment and the people I work with down here, that we're going to get in the weeds and make sure that this is done properly. So one other thing I would say that is important for, you know, your listeners to understand is what you hear on social media is not always the absolute truth. And so there's a lot of this stuff, especially when controversial legislation is happening, that you go and hear one perspective of it and don't get the entire full story. One thing I encourage everybody to do when I meet with them is, listen, if something doesn't sound right, raise your hand. There are unintended consequences of legislation. And if there's an unintended consequence that somebody's like, man, I saw that coming and I didn't say anything about it, there's nothing we can do about it. Our intention with this legislation is to give families a choice in Texas. It is not intended to hurt public education. And that's where we're going to be in the details and making sure that we're doing the right thing for public education as well.
Okay, one more for me. And this, again, I don't consider myself a donkey or an elephant, either one. I'm pretty neutral. I go back and forth on particular issues and all that kind of stuff. Is this considered a Republican driven concept? And where do the Democrats fall in this?
Yes, it is a Republican driven concept for sure. The Democrats are in belief that we are going to strip funding away from public schools. And as I've told you guys all morning, we are not going to do that. We are going to have a historic investment in public education alongside this voucher program.
Okay. Anything else?
I think my last one would just be, I guess, kind of how, you know, if you're in the position that you and Governor Abbott and anybody who is a state official is in.
Right.
Where did the push for this come from? When you're looking at the whole state and all of the different things that you can do, need to do, want to do, there's a lot. Yep. Where did the push for this and making it a priority come from?
Yeah. I think the loudest voice is the voice of the voters. Clearly, in the last election cycle, this was one of the top of mind issues. And with the governor's support, people that ran with this as part of what they believed in and giving families freedom and choice with their education were the individuals that were elected. So it really starts with the voters. All issues really start with the voters. And, you know, our constituents back at home, regardless of party, it matters that we get education right. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that giving families and parents and, you know, children the choice to choose what's best for them. You guys know a lot better. You know a whole lot better what's best for your family, more so than I do or more so than the government does. So I think it's really important to give families the choice to choose what's best for them. And that's where the intention of this program is. And that's what we're going to get across the finish line.
Okay. Representative John McQueeny, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. This might be
my first podcast. First podcast as an elected official.
It's our first elected official.
You're only going up from here. I promise. It's only going to get better.
Big day for us here. I wore a blazer for you.
She did. Julie wore a blazer for you. Well, we appreciate the time and the insight, and I hope you didn't get beaten down with my simpleton questions. But
and listen, anytime I can come on and simplify something that doesn't make sense or that that your listeners have got an interest in, I'm more than willing to do it.
So, well, I appreciate the time. And I know you probably don't listen to the Mom Game a lot, but we end every episode. And this is going to be so great because you are so, official with your flags and stuff behind you. But I'm going to ask you to throw up 2 peace signs, look into the camera, and on the count of 3, say Mom Game Out. 1, 2, 3.
Mom Game Out.
He did it. He nailed it.
Nailed it.